Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll read verses 1 through 10 for the foundation of the message, and then verse 16, 17, 18, 19. Amen. For sake of the message. And, you know, I don't have, I'm not in a hurry this morning, so if you're in a hurry, I'm sorry. Amen. I apologize to you now, but I'm not in a hurry. Amen. I don't want to rush through what God gives us to do. We rush through what God wants us to do and where we need to be with him. But when it comes to everything else, we take our time. Amen. Verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. When you have it, say, I have the word, I'm ready to receive it. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were with that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and sons and their daughters were taken captive. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. That's bad. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod and to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Amen. Let us see here. And so David went, and he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, and he and 400 men for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. We'll stop right there. I think I can tie it all in. I don't have to read it. I know you're ready to get into the word just like I am. Amen. Just remember, we'll be dealing with the entirety of the story. Amen. Amen. So here we are. We want to talk to you about restoration and recovery. Amen. Restoration and recovery. Because we need restoration, and we need a full recovery. Amen. The Bible here is 1 Samuel. Samuel is believed to be the writer. Samuel was the prophet of Israel. He was the last judge and the first prophet to really lead Israel during these times. And Samuel set a stage. He was so anointed that he knew the need of the people. He was so in tune with God that he knew the people did not need a king, but because they wanted a king, he did exactly what they wanted, and he went to God on their behalf. Not only that, Samuel, he knew what the people needed so much, to the point that he created what we call the school of the prophets. Amen. So that people would not be, as we would call, you know how they say jackleg preachers, it wouldn't be no jackleg prophets. Many of the prophets of today that self-proclaimed prophets would not be in Samuel's school because they would not be able to handle what Samuel was bringing. Amen. They probably would not be able to handle it because Samuel was going to be real with them. Amen. And the problem we have today with so many people is that we don't want people to be real with us. We just want people to get along with us. Amen. Amen. But I'd rather you be real. I was talking the other day with somebody that knew was saying, and it was a black person, they said about him, they said, he's cool. I said, how you say he's cool? He said, well, because he's out front with what he believes. He let you know out front. And I'd rather a snake out of the grass than a snake in the grass. Amen. So be real. If you don't do anything else, be up front. Be real. Amen. But here it is. The Bible says it. Now, David, let me give you a cap of where we are. David now, after Saul has tried to kill him several times, he's tried and attempted to get after David. David decides that I'm just going to go to the land of the Philistines. I know we sometimes read that and say Philistine, but it's Philistines. Say Philistines. He went to the land of the Philistines and he decided that he was going to partner up with them, and he was right over the border between Israel and the land of the Philistines, and he was doing a little raiding on the borders, you know, with people, and he made it look as though he was really on the Philistine side so that he could have a safe haven there, and because of Saul's hunting him down, trying to kill him. And so the king of the Philistines, they decided, they said, you know what? He said, we're going to give David Ziklag. Let him have that city because he got 600 men. And these men that were with David, they were they were bad men. I'm telling you, they were not good men. They were men who were in debt. They were discouraged. They were down on their luck. And they were doing whatever they could do in order to survive. And so David came among them, and he became their leader. And him being their leader, they followed him into battle time and time again. And apparently they were so good at it that it impressed the Philistine king. And when it impressed him, he decided, you know what? And when we go to battle, you just come go with us. But this time they were about to go to battle with Israel. And while they were about to battle with Israel, here come David walking up with his 600 men. The reason why I say walking is because when they left Ziklag, in order to get back, it was 50 miles from where they were, and it took them 3 days. So you couldn't be riding and get there. You get there 3 days earlier, 2 days earlier. But he said 3 days. It took them 3 days. And so David comes walking up with 600 men ready to fight, men of valor, men who does not, you know, didn't care about what the battle brought. You know, you got to have some people who are like that. They don't care what it is we're about to fight about, but we're about to fight. Amen. Do you have any friends like that? We need some people, some prayer warriors like that. Amen. Amen. I don't like these, man. It's too loud, I guess. But what we got to see here is that David had men that was ready to fight whenever he said, let's go. When he said, let's go battle, let's go battle. We ought to be, as a church, we ought to be ready to battle spiritually. No matter what the battle is, we ought to be saying, you know what, I'm with you. But many of us today, people who go to church, people who say they're Christian and say, when it comes time to go to battle, we say, well, that battle is not mine. It's y'all's. You and the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, but what we got to realize too, that most time we got people who say that battle is the Lord's, and sometimes we don't want to do our part. Our part is to praise, pray, and to worship. Amen. And so here it is. David goes in the battle, but then the Philistine king, he comes back and he tells him, he said, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea for David to go to battle with us, because suppose in the midst of the battle, he decides that he wants to be loyal to where he come from. He wants to be loyal to Israel, and he turn against us and start fighting with us, and then we lose the battle. So let's just send him back home. And so David said, that's all right with us. They went back home, and they get there, and they find out that the Amalekites had just come to their own city and destroyed it. Not only did they destroy it and burn it with fire, so they had nothing left, but they took all of their children, they took all of their wives, they took all of the cattle, everything that they had, they took it. Amen? Amen. And so here it is now. We find out that it becomes painful, so painful that the men begin to cry. If you read verse 1 through 6, it tells you how they took everybody. They didn't leave anybody. And the reason they took everybody is because they were going to profit off of them by selling them into slavery. Amen. And so here it was, David and his men shows up, and they begin to cry. So David and his men, verse 3, came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they could not weep or had no power to weep anymore. Do you know that this had to be devastating? It got to the point that they fell out. They fainted. It was so painful what they had encountered that they could not even cry anymore. You know, some of you say that I cried my last tear when yesterday, and you come here and you cry today. But these people cried because it was so painful. Can you imagine your family being kidnapped and you not know where they are? And do you know one thing the enemy will do is that while you're out trying to handle your business, he will try and attack your family. Amen. He will attack. He will come and he'll try to bring a painful predicament, a painful situation to your life and attack your family. He will attack your children. He will attack your wife, your husband. He will attack at your house while you're trying to do something that you think is right. Amen. All you're trying to do is survive. That's all David and those men were trying to do is survive. But while they were trying to make it in life, while they were trying to survive, the enemy came into the camp and destroyed everything that they had worked so hard to get. All in one day, they lost everything they worked for. All in one day, they lost their family. They lost all the stuff that they had, the cattle, the sheep, anything that they wanted to eat. They had nothing to eat, and they were so bitter. They were so painful in their situation that they cried to the point that they could not cry anymore. We can't even imagine that. We cry a little bit, and then we get mad. We want to fight. But these guys were so to the point that they wanted to stone David. Look at this. Let's read further. Then David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look at this here. I like this. I like this because the people wanted to stone David. Because they made a choice to follow him, but when it didn't go right, they got mad with him. See, sometimes people, they make a choice, but then when things don't go their way, then they get angry and they want to point the finger. They want to blame somebody. And so why not blame the one who we think is our leader? The one, look, matter of fact, you made him the leader. So why, you know, why blame him? Because you made a choice to follow him. Oh, sometimes we try to blame God for our problems. Sometimes we try to blame God for, well, why God didn't do this, why God didn't take care of that, why God didn't help in that. And sometimes it's our choice that we made to do a certain thing. And it ain't God's fault that you lost your car. Preach. It's not God's fault that the man walked out on you. Lord, thank you for that. Preach. We have to understand that we can't blame anybody, but we have to see what God is going to show us in the situation. He says that David, he was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And when they talked about stoning, they wasn't, you know, how we just, we talk about somebody throwing rocks and hiding their hand because they lied on us, talked about us. No, that wasn't that kind of stoning. No, they wasn't pitching pebbles at him. They wasn't going to just throw a few rocks and see if they can hit him. No, they were going to kill David. They wanted to make sure that David was dead. They wanted to make sure that because David was the leader and he had us away from our house, and David couldn't have predicted that the Amalekites was going to come and take their family away. He couldn't have predicted that they're going to burn with fire. All David was thinking was that the only enemy we really got is Saul, because Saul is the one after me trying to kill me. We just made friends with these people over here. Nobody understood David at this time, and sometimes we feel like we're misunderstood. Sometime we go through, it's bad enough David lost his family too, but it's even worse when his friends turned on him. Anybody ever had friends to turn on you? Anybody had people that ever blamed you for something and really wasn't your fault, and they didn't want to hear nothing you had to say? And guess what David did? David didn't get mad and start fighting back at them, pointing the finger back at them, talking about them, but David began to encourage encourage himself in the Lord. Do I have anybody in here that say, I've learned how to encourage myself in the Lord? Do you know what I mean? I mean that you start talking to yourself about what God can do. You start talking to yourself about how you are the apple of his eye, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You start talking about that you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Start to encourage yourself, because there is nobody else there to encourage you. And sometimes in our life, we forget to encourage ourselves. We always look for somebody else to pat us on the back. We look for somebody else to say, hey, you know, it's going to be all right. But what if nobody ever tells you it's going to be all right? What if nobody ever pats you on the back? What if there is nobody to touch and agree and pray with you? Can you encourage yourself? We need to get to a point in our life that we say, you know what? If nobody else encourages me, I'm going to speak this word myself. If nobody else speaks a word over me, I'm going to speak the word over myself and encourage myself in the Lord. We got to do it in the Lord. Amen. We can't encourage ourselves to do wrong, but let's encourage ourselves to do the right thing. I wish I had somebody here. David began to encourage himself. He began to let himself know that, David, you are the anointed of God. David, you are the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, you're the one that went and killed not only 10,000, but thousands, as the songster said. They said David killed thousands and saw. David killed 10,000 and saw his thousand. David, you're the one that killed Goliath. David, you're the one that when a bear and a lion took a lamb out of the flock, you didn't let the lamb go. You're the good shepherd. You went and you got the lamb back. David had to encourage himself. David, you're the one that didn't ask for this, but God, he used you. God blessed you. I wish I had somebody. David was the one. He said, look, he can encourage himself. I won many battles, and I know God is going to get me through this. You see, we can't give up when things go wrong in our life. We got to look back at the battle we fought last time. Look back at the things that we encountered the last time and say, you know what? If God brought me through that last time, I know that the power of God can get me through it this time. Do I have anybody that said it to yourself this morning? I know I got some problems, but that's okay. I had a lot of problems a long time ago, and I made it through all of them. I outlived my haters. I outlived the lies. I wish I had somebody. My problems, my bills were up to here last month, but they got paid. Now I just got to pay them this month. Do I have anybody in this house today that say, I'm looking for a full restoration and recovery, and it begins with me learning how to encourage myself? I was sick as a dog last year, but this year it's okay. I feel much better. Oh, come on and say, man, I've been through the storm and rain, but I still have joy after all that I've been through. Do I have any witnesses in the house that say, I've been through some stuff? Deacon Bell, I've been through some things, but guess what? The Lord was with me, and he kept me, and he helped me to overcome all my trouble. David was greatly distressed. That's why David could write the psalm and say, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Boy, it's a fearful thing to have. Now, David knew what these men were capable of. It's a fearful thing to know what they're capable of and say, oh, my God, I need to encourage myself because it don't look like I'm going to make it. But guess what? I'm still going to encourage myself. Oh, come on and say amen here. We got to see that these men were bad men. When David met them, they were killing people and taking their stuff when David met them. Amen? And so David knew that there wasn't no problem. If they get mad with you, they could take you out. And so David said, I need to go pray. There's some things that we deal with. Instead of us calling our family and friends and complaining about it, we need to decide today that I'm just going to go pray. I'm not going to sit back and let them do this. I got to get on my knees and start talking to God about my situation. Come on and say hallelujah. So we find out that even though they were in a painful predicament, we found out that David had prayer time. David took out time to pray. The Bible says, let's see where it is. David, he called Abithar the priest in verse 7, Ahimelech's son. He said, I pray thee, bring me the ephah. And Abithar brought the ephah to David. Now, what David did here, he exercised his leadership ability and his influence on Abithar, because see, the priest kept up with that. They wasn't just going to give that to anybody. Amen. That was a garment that was a garment that fit around the shoulders. Amen. Kind of a what we would use to, you know how we put something on around the shoulders and around here, and it kind of brings your posture up. And so what happens when you pray, it brings your posture up. I wish I had somebody. And so David said, bring me the shoulder girdle. Bring me the shoulder girdle, the ephod. And what did the ephod do to David? Even though he was distressed and depressed and he was down in the dumps, this ephod straightened him up. Why did the ephod straighten him up? Because the ephod represented you being in touch with God. That represented, here's my communication. I'm going to God about my problems. I don't know what problems you might encounter. I don't know what troubles you might have in your life. But what I want to encourage you to do is pray. Because when you pray and you come out of prayer, you'll feel better. Amen. If you truly pray, if you truly get on your knees and have the right kind of communication with God, and if you don't get no changes, guess what? God will condition you for what's changed in your life. God will fix it to where you say, you know what, that's all right. Well, whatever come, hell or high water, I know that I belong to you, God, and you'll pick me up out of this mess. You begin to give it over to God. You begin to say that the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. You start to encourage yourself, and you start to pray, and when you begin to pray, then God hears your prayer. That's encouraging. When God hears your prayer, it's very encouraging. When you know that God done heard you, you can get up off your knees and say, oh, yeah, I know I felt God in my prayer life. I felt God in my prayer time. I wasn't just praying. I was praying and God was talking back to me. Anybody had God talk back to you? Anybody had, look, sometimes he don't have to say much. All he has to do is give you that peace. Oh, come on and say amen. He gives me a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't understand why I feel good because I'm still in a bad situation, but I do feel good. I wish I had somebody. Anybody ever been like that? I've been in a bad situation and it didn't feel right, but when I got on my knees and prayed, I had a peace that surpassed all. I didn't understand how God did it. Didn't nothing change physically for me? I still had the headache. I still had the backache. I still had the sickness going on in my body, but I had peace because I knew that God heard my prayer. And if God heard me, I know that he can heal me and that he can help me. Do I have anybody here that realizes that when God hears your prayer, the devil better watch out? If the devil wants to keep you off your knees, he wants to keep you on the telephone talking about how bad it is. But you need to encourage yourself and pray to God. And when you pray, God will hear you. Say, bring me the ephod. I don't want to talk to them. I ain't got nobody else to talk to anyway. Sometimes that's why God won't let the friends answer the phone. Because he don't want you talking to them. He wants you to talk to him. That's why some people don't want to talk about your trouble. They don't want to hear your problem. God said, you bring your burdens to me. Bring all your problems to me and let me hear what you have to say. It's not that God does not know, but God wants to talk to us. Oh, hallelujah. Guess what? He knows what you're going to say before you yet pray. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, what? Avails much. We need to learn how to be fervent in our prayer. We need, in other words, the word fervent means to be hot, to heat up till it boils over. We need to learn how to pray until when we pray, it just begin to boil over and to bubble up. I wish I had somebody. In other words, when you pray, it ought to stir up some stuff. It ought to stir up the good things that are on the inside of you. When you pray, it ought to stir up some faith. It ought to stir up some courage. It ought to stir up some fruit of the Spirit. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, David says to God, he says, and David inquired in verse 8, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And look, David asked two questions. But the Lord came up and said, and answered, he said, pursue, one word, for thou shalt surely, look at what he said, overtake them without fail and recover all. God tells him, you're going to recover everything. Now, that's the wonderful. So what's so wonderful about God is that God didn't tell him how he was going to do it, but he told him he was going to do it. And that the reason why is that God doesn't always tell us how things are going to work, but he said they're going to work for your good. Lord, have mercy here. And the reason why is because you don't need to be worried about the how. You just need to be worried about the who is going to make sure it works. That's all we need to be concerned about, is that God is going to make it work for the good of them that love God, or to the call according to his purpose. I wish I had somebody in here today. We need to understand that God wants us to still use our faith when things don't go our way. He wants us to still use our faith. So he tells us it's going to work for you, but look, you just need to go do what you're going to do. Amen? And so many times we hear God say it's going to work for us, but then we just sit back and don't do nothing. God has said, no, you need to pursue. Come on and say amen. We need to pursue the enemy. The enemy's come to our life. He's coming to our camp. He's coming to our family, and he's wreaked havoc. But we need to understand that when we pray and encourage ourselves and ask God what we need to do, God has said, go ahead and do it. I got your back. And some people have your back, but it'll be way back. But God has your front, he has your back, he has your side, he's over you, under you, he's living down inside of you. God has you. That's why the scripture said we can do all things through what? Through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. So David had a productive prayer. He prayed, and the Bible tells us that David asked those questions. The Bible says that we ought to what? Ask, and it shall, he says, knock, and it shall be given. Seeking, you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. We need to be able to ask God whatever it is we need to ask him. And guess what? God, he don't ignore you. Sometimes God will answer in silence. He'll say, you just keep doing what you're doing. Amen. I was teaching a Bible study the other day, and I made a point to say that God didn't speak to Noah for 150 days after he had spoken to him and shut the door on the ark. And we get, look, and we get a word every week, and we can't do nothing near what Noah did. We can't trust God to stay in the ark. We got to go see what's going on and drown. David got a word from the Lord. Paul, when Paul prayed, he said, I got a thorn in my flesh and I need you to help me, God. And I went to him three times and God didn't say nothing until the third time. Do you know that sometimes God won't answer you like you want to hear him on the first and second time? Sometimes he'll let you know, okay, you've been asking me the same thing and I hadn't changed it. You need to understand that my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect where you're weak. Don't worry about this, Paul. I got it under control. Tell your neighbor, God has it under control. He tells him, he said, without fail, you shall recover it all. So David, he went with his 600 men. 600 men David had. He was going to fight a host of Amalekites to try to get back his family and all that was lost with his family. And David decided that he's going to take these 600 men, and all of a sudden, these 600 men, 200 of them decided, you know what? We can't make it. We ain't going to be able to make this trip. We ain't got nothing to eat. We just walked 50 miles. We found out our families was gone. And so here we are, so depressed that we can't go on. Amen? Let's read it. You don't believe me. He says, for David took, he said, verse 9, David went and with 600 men, and they came to the brook Besor, where those that were left stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 of bow behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Now, there's a significance there, and I always like to dig. You know, I like digging in the scriptures, and I don't always like to scratch the surface. But when you look at that and you start to dig in the surface, when they took this passionate pursuit to go find the enemy, to get back what they had lost, to recover, and to be restored of what they had lost, they got to this brook called Besor. And this word means to be made fresh, amen? It means to announce good tidings. David got to the brook, and the brook that was supposed to refresh them, the brook that was supposed to bring good tidings to them, and these people would not receive the good tidings. These people would not receive a refreshment. You ever talk to somebody and you try to encourage them in the Lord, and I don't care what you say, they say, no, I hear you, but it's just too bad. I won't receive it. And they want to stay in their depression. They want to stay down in the dumps. You keep trying to tell them, come on, let's pray. I just don't feel like I can pray. I don't think the Lord